Thank you, Darren. In the Delta states, we have a meeting in the fall. I don't know how long it's been going on. It's been going on a long time, called the Delta Weed Workers Meeting. And a couple of years ago, Dr. Steckel hosted that meeting around Memphis. And Dr. Ken Smith, as he has a tendency to do, came up with an idea of work for me to do. And so I, being the low man on the totem pole for seniority, I got the nod to come up with some treatments for managing resistant palmer in the Delta. Now, Stanley's talked about it, and Stanley's been talking about it for a long time, and Stanley's probably ahead of everyone else as far as managing resistant palmer. And he mentioned about the moisture that they received in Georgia this year, and that's more common for us in the Mid-South. We tend to get a lot more rainfall than states in the Southeast do in the spring, so we've kind of leaned towards using the residual herbicides for resistant palmer. So this is a trial that we put together, and you see the names represented there, different counterparts in other states that conducted the same trial with us this past year. So not going to go through a lot of this. If there is anyone here that's not familiar with palmer, it is quite possibly the perfect weed. It's an absolute beast. The physiological characteristics and morphological characteristics that it possesses make it very competitive, highly adaptive, and then the genetics allows for rapid response to different selection pressures, and then of course you can see at the bottom the seed production helps it spread very rapidly as well. This is a picture that Dr. Steckel had taken in Tennessee this past year, and that just kind of reinforces what I showed on the previous slide, the robustness of this pest that we're dealing with. So just kind of putting some ideas together for where I think that how we got to where we are today. You take the characteristics of the weed that I mentioned on the previous slide, and we're almost in the Delta, probably 98 to 100% Roundup Ready, Roundup Ready Flex cotton. So yeah, it's very effective for several years, and then some other factors worked into that, particularly the economics. You know, early on, the herbicide component of the Roundup Ready technology was very affordable, and then in the latter years, you know, some of the dire economics on the cotton price side really led to some total glyphosate programs, moved away from any other alternative herbicides, if for no other reason than the injury that we saw prior to the Roundup Ready age with some of those residual herbicides. And then obviously it's led to an overall reduction in tillage as we adopted the conservation tillage. We're farming more acres and just don't have time to do it like we used to do it. So it's just some snapshots from our states in the Mid-South. We've all seen similar pictures, but these are from Mississippi and Arkansas and Tennessee mainly. Dr. Stevenson in Louisiana, he's pretty sure he has it, but they have not confirmed that to date. So Stanley has actually shown this same slide a couple of times this week already, but 4 or 5 years ago, you know, we just had a few counties in 3 or 4 states, and then this is, I guess, the most up-to-date information that we have at this point. 120 counties spread across, what is it, 8 states now, Stanley? So it's really spreading, and, you know, we're going to add more counties in Mississippi. Daniel has more counties or has counties that he will add in Louisiana, and I know it's spreading in the other states as well. One little complicating factor that I'm not going to mention today is over here to the left, the Amaranthus rutus. This is water hemp. We have a lot of mixed populations in the Delta of palmer and water hemp that can complicate things. And it's very common in the Midwest. You can see in Missouri and also in Louisiana, a good percentage of the pigweeds in Louisiana turn out to be water hemp. So this is a slide from Dr. Steckel that he had shown at one of our meetings a few weeks ago, but just kind of what we've learned since we've been dealing with glyphosate-resistant palmer amaranth. We know that Dual and Prowl are labeled over the top, but obviously neither one of those has any post-emergence activity. Staple and Invoke are basically our only options over the top, and then we're just not going to recommend much ALS herbicide for pigweeds in the Delta, at least on my side of the river. And then a lot of discussion about Ignite, but it's just not going to take down a Palmer that's been able to get any size on it. So where we are is on the residual herbicides, and this is a slide. We can't even remember who put this one together a couple of years ago. But just what we want to do with this trial is just kind of do a proof of concept of this hypothetical graph right here. We want to get a residual out early in the season, pre-plant, and then when that residual starts to break, get another one into the system, and then introduce another one, so there's always an exposure of that emerging Palmer amaranth to a residual herbicide before it's able to get out of the ground and get going. So that brings me to the actual trial. Objective was just to evaluate these sequential applications, these residual herbicides, pre-plant and pre. And then I'll go ahead and tell you that the second objective, don't expect any information about that one. You'll see in a couple more slides what I'm talking about there, but we weren't actually able to do anything with the length of residual. But this is where we were working, all up and down the Mississippi River. We had five sites, six tests at five sites from Shelby County, Tennessee, all the way to Rapides Parish, Louisiana. Just basic experimental design. We had a factorial arrangement of pre-plant applications. We had Valor Reflex. Now, contrast to what they are able to do in Georgia, in the Mid-South, we have to put Reflex out pre-plant, difference in soil texture, and a little bit more susceptibility to injury. And then we had Direx, and just as a fluke of treatment structure, Direx fell into the pre-plant category, even though it did go out right behind the planter. And then these applications are followed up with three standard traditional pre-emergence herbicides, Colloran, Caprol, and Prowl, and of course the Direx-based treatments. These three would have actually gone out in a tank mixture with Direx. So this is just some location information for the different sites. And really the only thing I wanted to show here was just notice the range and the timings that we had for our Valor applications, anywhere from May or April the 3rd down in Alexandria all the way out to May the 19th with Dr. Smith's trial at Mariana. Dr. Steckles is highlighted here in red on his planting date. He actually had to plant the trial twice and never did get a stand due to flooding at his location. So this is probably the most important slide in the talk, and I think if nothing else, this is a testament for me of the difficulty of doing research across five or six different locations, because this thing just fell apart. You look at the problems that we had, the density at the different locations. We had anywhere from a very low density to just an obnoxiously high density. Correct timing, we had six sites, and we only got the treatments out at the right timings at four of them, and just massive rain. We had 15 inches of rain at Stoneville between the time that we put out our Valor and we planted the cotton. So it was a problem throughout the year. And then we didn't use any glyphosate in these trials early on, so you can see what happens in the absence of glyphosate. Daniel had a real problem with hophorn bean copperleaf, and then Dr. Noisworthy at Mariana wasn't even actually able to evaluate Palmer amaranth control because the annual grass overgrew in the trial. So I'm going to show you what we have and just allow you to make your own conclusions. So wasn't able to combine any data really, so I'm just going to kind of go site by site. And most of these are going to be the 2 week after planting evaluation, so about a week after the cotton came out of the ground. Down here on your bar clusters, you got those pre-plant applications, your no pre-plant, your Valor Reflex or Direx, and then the individual bars would be those follow-up pre-applications. So this is my data from Stoneville, and just a couple of things to point out here. We did realize a benefit from following up that Valor application with the pre. We put the Valor out on April the 15th. I think our planting date at our site was actually May the 19th, and we got about 15 inches of rain. So you can't ask or expect Valor to last that long with that amount of rainfall in the field. Reflex, actually, I think went out about 21 to 24 days before planting, and no additional benefit from adding the pre, but still we only got 75% control at the most, And then the directs, where we came in after all the rainfall, was our best control, and then no benefit from adding the pre in the tank with the directs. Daniel's data from Alexandria, similar but a little different. Obviously, all the control was a lot better than the previous slide. He also saw a benefit, although a lot smaller, in the valor-based treatments from adding the pre. And then he actually got a benefit from adding the Colleran Caprol to Prowl in with the directs, but then everything's about 90% control for him at 2 weeks after planting. And Dr. Smith's data from Roar and Mariana, Arkansas, we actually were able to combine it. And similar to what Daniel saw, pretty good jump here on the Valor when we added the pre, and then no other differences adding the pre's in behind the pre-plant. So you can see the range of control that we saw, and most of it, you know, I would attribute it to the rainfall that we had at the different sites. These are pictures from my plots and all the treatments that included Colleran. You had Colleran by itself, Valor Colleran, Reflex Colleran, and then Direx Colleran. You can just kind of see the progression of the reduction in Palmer population as you move left to right and then down the slide. And then look here at the bottom right slide, the Direx Colleran. We've all seen that before. I remember, you know, being a little kid and walking fields, and, you know, we put Colleran out behind the planter, and Daddy was always scared to death if it turned cold and wet, because we were going to see a lot of that. And we did when we had the Direx and Colleran combination. So this is our injury that we saw a little bit here with the Valor-based treatments, and obviously that's due more to the Colleran and Caprol. I'm not sure what's going on there with the Prowl. Wouldn't expect that as much. But then the Direx-based treatments, obviously the injury is far and away greater than what we saw with the other ones. Daniel didn't see a lot of injury in his plots at Alexandria. Dr. Smith's plots, you know, they look the kind of the bar breakout looks a lot like mine, but if you look at the scale, the injury from the Direx treatments is about twice as high as mine. So 75%+ injury with Direx and Colleran. Can you stand that? You know, I don't know. I didn't see that myself. The yields were really, really crazy in most of these plots. So it was really hard to determine, you know, what contributed to the yield loss. But this just kind of show you the range of injury that we saw with those Direx based treatments at Stoneville, and obviously the Direx plus Colleran was a lot hotter than the other treatments. I just showed my cotton yield because I actually had shown this slide at another meeting and already had it done. But just a couple of things to show in each of these clusters, the treatment that included Colleran was as good or better than any of the other three treatments. And then the Direx based treatments were as good or better than anything else. And I go back and say this is 1 year with a extremely screwy weather pattern from March the 15th all the way up to December 31st. And obviously the cotton wasn't still there December 31st, but we just had an awful year for farming and for doing weed science research. But if you go back and think about the injury versus the control, and we still had the highest yields, even though they're relatively low with those Direx-based treatments. So you balance the injury that you see with that yield loss from early season competition, and, you know, I tell folks in Mississippi, you know, take it as far as what you're comfortable with. You know, sustain as much injury as you can stomach and be able to get a crop out of the field in the fall. So just quick summary, you know, we saw a range of control with those Valor and Reflex-based treatments early on, and we almost without exception, we did realize a benefit from following Valor with a pre. Will we see it again next year with different weather? You know, maybe not, but, you know, with Valor being out there for 30 days, you know, that's pretty, yeah, I would expect to see a benefit from adding another herbicide into the system at that point. And like I said, at my site and at Roar, the injury was severe with the Direx, And then it didn't show the 28-day data, but we did get a benefit on the reflex treatments from having that pre when we moved out further in the season. So just conclusions, I hammered on the rainfall. The sequential programs early on, you know, they did well for us in most cases. And the directs for this year, I think, was the best. But then obviously we're going to need something else introduced into the system to carry it throughout the year. We had a companion trial that went along with it with this test that kind of flopped worse than this one did. So we just really wanted to point out that we're all trying to work together in our part of the Cotton Belt, in the Mid-South, the Delta states, to try to come up with a cohesive message for how we want people in our part of the world to manage glyphosate-resistant palmer. So I hope I didn't go over, Darren. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions for our speaker?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.